Wisconsin Republicans held their state convention this weekend. Although there were rumors that activists would try to oust the party chairman, the focus was on a call for unity. It's Monday, May 18th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, Wisconsin hospitals are being reimbursed millions of dollars for emergency response costs from the COVID-19 pandemic. Federal authorities announced the payments this month. And a new lawsuit argues letting clerks decide whether or not to tell voters they need to correct their mail-in ballots is unconstitutional.
We're trying to ask clerks to do is please make the attempt.
Stay with us.
There's a certain spirit about being a Wisconsinite.
On Wisconsin Weekend, we celebrate that by exploring the stories that make the state special.
And we meet people doing interesting things who don't always make it into the headlines.
Connect with your Wisconsin community on Wisconsin Weekend.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10 on WPR News.
Wisconsin Republicans called on grassroots supporters this past weekend to end party infighting and unify behind Congressman Tom Tiffany's run for governor. Rich Kramer has more from the Republican Party of Wisconsin's annual state convention.
Rumors of an attempt to oust Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming at a gathering in Wisconsin Dells never materialized. Instead, speaker after speaker called for GOP unity behind Tiffany, Republican Attorney General candidate Eric Toney, and GOP Congressman Derek Van Orden. After getting the party's endorsement, Tiffany referenced his time as a dam tender in Minocqua when he said the election is about saving Wisconsin from a path of decline.
Let's unlock the great potential of the state of Wisconsin. Let's send in the damn man this November and drain the Madison swamp.
Republicans also heard from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who told party activists to end what he referred to as the circular firing squad. He said the GOP needs unity ahead of the midterms. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Bayfield County judge ruled Canadian energy firm Enbridge can continue most work on the company's reroute of its Line 5 oil and gas pipeline in northern Wisconsin. But he ordered the company to halt construction where it needs additional permits in waterways. The decision is largely a win for Enbridge and its embattled project to reroute Line 5 around the Bad River Tribe's reservation. A company spokesperson called the ruling an important decision that allows work on the pipeline to move ahead. But the Bad River Tribe and environmental groups also see the ruling as a partial win. The tribe and environmental groups argued Enbridge was ineligible to obtain permits to install structures in certain waterways because the company didn't own the land next to them. The judge agreed the practice for obtaining permits at four waterway crossings may be on a tenuous legal footing. Wisconsin hospitals are being reimbursed millions of dollars for emergency response costs from the COVID-19 pandemic. As Hope Kerwin reports, the Federal Emergency Management Agency announced the payments last week.
FEMA is paying out $41 million in public assistance funding to Wisconsin hospitals. The money is meant to reimburse increased spending on supplies and contracted labor needed during the height of the pandemic. FEMA says the awards went through a rigorous review process to ensure payments weren't duplicated. Research professor Lisa Graybert from Marquette University says the federal government provided many resources to hospitals in 2020, including increased Medicare reimbursements.
And that was for things like PPE, for new spending in the labor force, and the federal government really should have taken the time to make sure that all those payments that went out were not duplicated with anything that was being charged to FEMA.
She says large lump sums like the FEMA payments will likely be put toward hospital investments or acquisitions. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hundreds of nurses at SSM Health St. Mary's Hospital in Madison are working to unionize. They filed paperwork with the National Labor Relations Board this month to hold a union election. Organizers said more than 70% of nurses at St. Mary's signed authorization cards to trigger the vote. Savannah Nesvik is a registered nurse who has been at St. Mary's for 7 years. She says it's the area's lowest paying hospital.
I know many, many nurses who have moved outside of Dane County and will drive all the way in just because they don't want to leave the hospital, but they can't afford to stay and be close.
In a statement, SSM Health said the health system respects the right of its employees to unionize. Organizers hope the election takes place in late May or early June. A new lawsuit claims giving local clerks discretion over whether to notify voters about problems with their absentee ballots is unconstitutional. The suit filed by the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin relates to missing or incomplete information on absentee ballot envelopes. The league says current law has led to patchwork of policies on when, how, or if clerks tell voters corrections are needed. League Director Deborah Cronmiller says that can lead to disenfranchisement of voters in some communities.
So if a ballot is received the Monday before Election Day with an error, the clerk might say to themselves, oh, we don't have time to contact the voter, and never even make the attempt. What right. we're trying to ask clerks to do is please make the attempt.
They are asking a Dane County judge to order the State Elections Commission to create a statewide standard for notifying voters of absentee ballot defects. A Dane County judge says nearly two dozen Madison absentee ballots must be counted after all. As Sarah Lear reports, the order comes in response to a lawsuit filed after Wisconsin's April 7th election.
In Wisconsin, absentee ballots need to be received by 8 p.m. on Election Day in order to be counted. The 23 Madison voters turned in their ballots well before that cutoff, but a courier didn't drop them off to their respective polling places until after the deadline. As a result, the Wisconsin Elections Commission concluded that the ballots cannot legally be counted. That prompted a lawsuit from Law Forward. Attorney Scott Thompson helped bring the case.
In Wisconsin, the right to vote matters. You can't just be wrongfully disenfranchised through no fault of your own.
On Thursday, a judge sided with Law Forward. The next morning, the Elections Commission certified final results that included the 23 ballots. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear from a Madison performance artist with an unusual focus. Bubbles. That's right after this.
At Morning Edition, we take you to the places where the news is breaking so you get a clear idea of what's happening and why.
The Trump administration repeatedly called the protesters anarchists and insurrectionists, and this is simply not the case. I was there. These protests have been...
Listen for the latest developments on the biggest news stories every weekday morning on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Some know her as the Bubble Lady of Wisconsin, crisscrossing the state to give bubble performances at fairs, festivals, and libraries. The Madison bubble artist wows her audience as she makes everything from tiny shimmering spheres to giant bubbles that flow high above a crowd. Michelle Hackett realized that she could make a career as a bubble artist. She calls herself Marvelous Michelle. And she recently spoke with Wisconsin Today host Kate Archer Kent about bubble performance art, starting with how she got into it.
I have been a performer for quite some time. Previously to doing bubbles, I was doing human statue. And I looked around at all the different artists in the area and I said, what are people not doing? Because I didn't enjoy being in competition with my friends in order to be able to do human statue work. Mm-hmm. And in order to do fire and flow work, I'm like, I'm in competition with everybody around me. So I was at Ashley for the Arts up north, and I met Steve Langley from the Soap Bubble Circus in South Carolina, and I fell in love.
With bubbles.
With bubbles. I had no idea you could do what he did with bubbles, and I saw it for the first time in 2018. In 2020, just before the pandemic hit, I went and did a training with him for a week, and I learned so many more tricks and different things, and that's how I got into bubbles, was through Steve Langley and the Soap Bubble Circus.
Do bubbles still surprise you? Are you still learning?
Constantly. I just got back from a bubble convention in the UK. I got to see and meet some of the top bubble artists in the world, which is awesome because there were 30 different countries that were represented. The conference is called POP.
I love it.
Just a ton of wonderful, wonderful artists. who are all kind of sharing what they do. And they did a demonstration on helium. And I learned some of the amazing things that you can do with helium. And I'm very excited for my next season because I'm bringing some of those tricks in to this particular round of play.
And you're our audiences. They're not passive observers. You let them get their hands wet and make bubbles of their own. Why do you let them be part of your show?
So it's actually, I have several different options. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my options is the interactive table experience. And it's because people don't want to just sit and watch people make bubbles. They want to make bubbles. They want to pop bubbles. They want to get their hands dirty, especially little kids. Mm-hmm. Like, it's wild to see the change in people when a bubble comes. With kids, it's like they lose their mind. And I often with small children will have a baby gates for when I'm making bubbles. And then I have a variety of things for them to make the bubbles.
Yeah. What do you think that the future holds for interactive entertainment experiences?
I think it's on the rise, especially when you look at Meow Woof. They have a chain in multiple cities now where people kind of go in and they crawl and they get their hands on things. And then you also have that whole go out on a date where you're painting in a bar and people are actively participating in creating art. And I think a lot of that is in reaction to the internet where we just sit and watch all the time. And people don't always just want to sit and watch. They want to do it. They want to DIY it. They want somebody to show them exactly how. There's a lot of skills that, across the board, have gotten and dropped off, like cooking and just getting your hands dirty because people are so busy staring at their phones, not engaging in the world. And people want to engage. And so if you offer them the opportunity and teach them, okay, this is how you do this. There's so much opportunity in educating people on how they can get involved in these different types of things.
You can find that full interview at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. And now for a check of the Monday forecast. Mostly cloudy today, warmer and more humid. Scattered showers expected in the morning, with highs reaching in the 70s to the north and near 80 south. And then tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, some could be strong. Lows will likely hover between the 50s and 60s. And then tomorrow, showers possible in the morning, especially in the eastern half. Blustery and cooler with mostly cloudy skies and highs in the 50s and 60s. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Deneen Smith. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.